Okay, good evening, everyone. We're going to get started right away with our study this evening. We're in Revelation chapter 10. Tonight's study is probably going to be a pretty short one. We were coming up to the last two verses of Revelation chapter 10, and I don't see that we're going to spend very much time on it, but we'll see what, you know, how much time we're going to spend on it. Let's see where we'll start or where we'll pick up. I know we were looking at last time we were looking at the little book in the messenger's hand or the angel's hand, and in Revelation chapter 10, verse 10. And we did look a little bit at the hand, and I believe let's see. Yeah, we did look a little bit at the hand, but we'll look a little bit more. Maybe take a look at a few verses here concerning the hand. You know, earlier in the verse, we read that the book was open in the hand of the messenger which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Here we read concerning the hand. In 10:10, I took the little book out of the messenger's hand and ate it up. This hand, I believe, this messenger is Christ. So this hand is the hand of God. And we look into the Bible, we see, for instance, the right hand in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, which identifies with Christ, and it also identifies with the body of Christ. The body of Christ is on the right hand, and remember when God separates the sheep from the goats, and also the wheat from the tares. I know the sheep from the goats. He talks about at some point where the sheep are on his right hand and the goats are on his left hand, and I think that identifies with the fact that the body of Christ identifies with the right hand of God. After all, Christ says that we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. We are the body of Christ. But in Revelation chapter 5, we read concerning the hand of God. In verse 1, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. So this is the book that is in view. It is identifying with the Bible. And this is the book that is opened. Particularly, of course, as we're looking into Revelation and the seven seals, it is the opening of the understanding of end time events, particularly the chronology of end time events, but also the details of end time events. But anyway, 10:10, and I looked, and I took the little book out of the messenger's hand and ate it up, and in my mouth was sweet as honey. And as soon as I did eat it up, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. And that's the end of chapter 10. So here God is telling John that he's going to continue to prophesy. He's going to continue to bring the message. And of course, this message is to the entire body of Christ. Looking into the end of the world. God is giving us this information here in Revelation chapter 10. We did look at this word honey, and we saw that honey identified with the Word of God. It identifies with the Gospel. And we looked at the word belly. We saw that belly identified with the corporate church, and that there was a bitterness, and how the many see the bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We looked at some verses and saw how God speaks of that, and so that is what is focused here, is this Word of God is coming forth, and to the truth, to those who deny the truth, are seeing the light for darkness and darkness for light, and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. But the hand of God, I think, is a picture of, again, the body of Christ, and of course Christ himself, and you cannot separate Christ from his word. They're one and the same. A couple of the verses we probably should look at that relate to Revelation chapter 10, we find a group of verses in Revelation chapter 11, We read in verse 15, and the seventh messenger sounded. And that's exactly what we are looking at here, is the seventh messenger sounding, as we read about in Revelation 10, verse 7, in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound. And God talks about the mystery of God, that it should be finished. So Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, picks up with this kind of language, and the seventh messenger sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast given to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And then God gives us a little bit of a recap concerning this. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. So this is judgment day that is in view. The sounding of the seventh messenger is judgment day. The time has come that the dead, that they should be judged. And here again, God is giving us that picture as he draws it up here in Revelation 11, that the kingdom of this world, the kingdoms, plural, of this world, are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And remember, this world, by reason of conquest, has been given over to Satan. The Bible says that Satan rules here, and that he is the prince and power of the air. And we've looked at this many times in the past and saw that the air identifies with the place of conversation. And so the conversations of the world is under the influence and the control of Satan, the kingdom of Satan. And we've seen here, as we've been looking into our studies over the past months, and looking into Revelation chapter 8, 9, and even 10 here, and we see how Satan had been loosed, and how darkness has come now into the churches, and as he has overtaken the saints, and he has taken a seat in the temple or in the churches. And we read the language, for instance, in Revelation 9, how when Satan is loosed out of this bottomless pit, that up out of this pit comes the smoke, as the smoke of a great furnace, and God gives us that picture of how this smoke darkens the sun, which is the light of the gospel, and the air, the place of conversation in the corporate churches. They have now come under the influence of Satan. They have come under the rule of Satan. Satan is now ruling. He has taken a seat. He is ruling in the churches. And so that is the picture that has been in view until now, Revelation 11. Now, we do know, of course, that Christ came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ, and he defeated Satan at the cross, and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, even though he restrained Satan, he also loosed him here now at the end of the world. But there comes a time now when judgment day has come. It comes the time now where the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And that's the picture that we have here in Revelation chapter 11. And again, and the nations that were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail. Now God is giving us some insight, a picture, a spiritual picture of eternity. He's given us a spiritual picture into these last days. And particularly as this last day meets eternity. I'm not too sure exactly how to understand this verse 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. Now, what is the temple of God? The temple of God is the body of Christ. We are the temple of God. We are those living stones built up for a dwelling place. And now that temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple, in the body of Christ, the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail. And all of that, of course, is a picture of judgment. So judgment day has come. So God is giving us a little bit of an insight concerning this, but again, we can't really draw the picture of exactly what is taking place here. We can only get a little bit of an insight, just a little bit of an insight on what is taking place here. One other verse we might want to look at concerning talking about this timing of Judgment Day, which we started looking at here in Revelation chapter 10. And again, just to reiterate it, Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, which is the entire chapter, identifies with Judgment Day itself. It identifies with Christ coming down, and he is clothed with a cloud, and he reveals himself in all of his glory. The books are open. Judgment Day has come. And he gives us insight on this day. And he declares that there should be time no longer in Revelation chapter 10, verse 6. We did also look in Revelation 16, verse 17, which is a sister verse to these verses here in Revelation 10, where we read, "And the seventh messenger poured out his vial into the air." This vial is identifying with the wrath of God and the judgment of God that has come upon the earth or the church, which is kind of interesting because this vial first, and we've looked at this a little bit, this vial has been full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. We read about that in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. But then God talks about taking this golden vial and filling it up with the wrath of God. And so it is identifying, I think, the vial, in some way, it is identifying with the body of Christ. And here the seventh messenger pours out of his vial, or out of the body of Christ, into the place of conversation. And there was a great voice out of heaven, or out of the temple of God. Let me reread that. A great voice out of the temple of heaven, from the throne, saying, "It is done." And this being "it is done" is judgment day. The ends of the world has come. The work of God has been completed, of course, and now judgment is taking place. The end of the world has come. The end of time has come. It is done. As declared in Revelation 10, God says it in a different way in verse 6, "And he sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer." And so it is done, or there is time no longer. Or as he puts it in Revelation chapter 11, "And the temple of God was open, and there was seen in his temple the ark of the testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail." And as God is leading into that, he tells us that it was a time, in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets. Now, there's, like I said a few minutes ago, there's one of the a group of verses we might want to look at before we close up here in Revelation chapter 10, and that would be 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where we read in verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the chief messenger, and with the trump of God." Now right away, this trump of God is leading us into these seven trumpets. "With the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words." So the Lord will come, and he will descend from heaven with the shout of the chief messenger. And I think there is one other verse. Hang on a minute, let me see if I can find this other verse. yeah, 1 Corinthians, maybe a couple verses here. 1 Corinthians is probably also a couple of verses we should tie together into this language here in Revelation chapter 10 concerning the end of the world, concerning time no longer, concerning it is done. we read, let's see, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, maybe we'll pick up in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Remember, it is the mystery of God that is now complete. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And this is the mystery that God is focusing in on. The mystery, you know, we had read about, where was this earlier part of Revelation 10, I think it's, that's the kind of language. Let's see where that was. Oh yeah, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. And so now in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And so that is the focus of the mystery of the changing and the twinkling of an eye, the end of the world, judgment day. And it is being revealed to the body of Christ, the mystery. I show you a mystery. That mystery is being revealed in the fact that we are now know the timing of the end. We know a lot of the details of the end. I believe collectively the body of Christ understands all of the details of the end. I don't know if any one individual knows and understands it all, but I think we could say that the entire body of Christ collectively probably understands the mystery concerning this end of the world, the mystery of the events, the details, the timing of the end of the world. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The seventh trump is the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall rise. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, it is at the last trumpet, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The last trump is judgment day. The last trump is the end of the world. It is the end of time. Again, as we read in Revelation chapter 10, verse 6, where we read, and he swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that are therein. And remember, because God can swear by no one greater than himself, he swears by himself. So he swears by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. Or it is done in Revelation 16:17. Okay, I think that brings us pretty much to the end of chapter 10, and there may be a few other verses might be able to relate to this. They don't come to mind at the moment, but these verses, I think, put together, clearly gives us the picture of the seventh trumpet and the focus of the seventh trumpet as far as in time is concerned, and that it is focusing in on our day and will end the sounding of that trumpet with the voice of God himself coming down, declaring that there is time no longer, and bringing judgment into this world. And it talks about the dead being risen for judgment day. All right, we'll continue in our study. We'll pick up in another chapter, Lord willing, next Thursday. Like I mentioned, this would be a short study. There wasn't much left in this chapter. So we'll open for conversation for the rest of the evening. If anybody has anything particular, a question, a comment, or correction anyone could offer concerning our study.